Although Advent doesn't actually begin until next week, 4 weeks before Christmas, we are going to begin our Advent series today. And the series is titled, It's a Wonderful Life. It's a movie that the American Film Institute has rated as the number one inspirational movie of all time. But the movie, it has a very interesting history, because when it was first released during the Christmas season of 1946, it was a box office flop. While it did receive six Academy Awards, six nominations, including Best Picture, Best Director in Frank Capra, and Best Actor for Jimmy Stewart, the only award it actually won was a Technical Achievement Award for the method of simulating falling snow on a movie set. And if you've ever seen the movie, then you know how amazing that effect was and how important the snow was for the look and the feel of the movie. Now, since the movie didn't do very well in the box office, it actually sat on the shelves for several decades, and then due to some clerical error, the copyright, it lapsed in the 1970s, which meant that TV stations could show it for free. And that is why during the 1970s and the 1980s, you could find It's a Wonderful Life on just about every TV station that was out there during the month of December. Well, the copyright, it was renewed in the 1990s. And so it's no longer free for television stations, but now you can find it on several stations through the holiday season. And I looked last night, and the only one that I could find that's going to be on is the USA Channel. Or you can borrow a copy from Kelly if you're really interested. She might let you borrow it. She let me borrow hers. And while the movie is well over 2 hours long, what it is most known for is the final 30 minutes. What most people know about the movie is how the angel Clarence comes to Earth to save George Bailey by showing him what the world would have been like if he had never been born. While Clarence shows George what a difference he has made during his life, the real meat of the actual movie is going through George's life. And what we see is what makes George's life wonderful. And it is that it points us to the example of Jesus. And to help us to see those connections, we need to first hear these words from the Apostle Paul that are found in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Do not look to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human kindness, in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I got to stop there for a moment. Don, this is killing me. Yesterday, I ordered lights a while ago. We had some lights that were out, and this is nothing in the script except I got to tell you. And yesterday, Don and I changed out some of the lights, and you may go, it's really bright. You know, we have some LEDs up here, and it's really bright. Well, Don, we changed this LED up there. And I tell you what, I'm trying to read this, and I haven't practiced with it this bright. I am distracted. It's all get out right now. I'm reading this, and I can't even. It's whoa. Because I can actually see it. And I, all week long, I practiced. I was even here yesterday morning before we set things up, and I practiced it. But I can actually see this now, and it's and we okay. See, we even had to put paper on there because it glared so bad. So this is totally off script and totally off everything. But I am really distracted by everything that's up here, even this nail that's sitting on the ground up here. And my mind is just wandering everywhere. So I'll practice this week with it. But it's just everything, like the nail that's sitting on the ground right here, it's distracting me. So I'm taking a moment, and we're going to get to this. Okay. See? So we'll get back to it. I love the lights. I think they're really bright, but we'll get back to it and stuff. And as we continue our series and get into this, our attitude, our words, and our actions, they need to reflect those of Jesus Christ, who was humble. He was sacrificial, and he always put the needs of others before his own. And that is exactly what we see in the life of George Bailey. Even from a very young age, George, he would jump in to help people without even thinking about himself, and it all starts right here.
Yay!
Who's that?
That's your problem, George Bailey.
A boy?
That's him when he was 12, back in 1919. Something happens here you'll have to remember later on.
Come on, Marty! Let's go, Marty! Come on, Marty! Let's go, Sammy! Oh, Sammy!
And here comes the scare baby, my kid brother, Harry Bailey!
I'm not scared!
George saved his brother's life that day, but he caught a bad cold which infected his left ear. Cost him his hearing in that ear. It was weeks before he was able to go back to his after-school job at Old Man Gower's drugstore.
You see, George, he sets aside his own well-being to rescue his younger brother. He didn't think of himself or his own life or his own safety. He jumps right in, and he saves his brother, and in the process, he loses the hearing in one of his ears. Now, Clarence, the angel, he is told to pay particular attention to this moment in George's life, and it comes back in a very important way a little bit later on. All through the movie, what we see in George is someone who doesn't put his own wants or needs first. He is always willing to help others. Now, as a boy, George also had a job at a local pharmacy. And one day he noticed that his boss, Mr. Gowan, in his own grief at the loss of his son in the war, has filled a prescription with poison instead of medicine. And George is supposed to go and deliver this medicine, but he doesn't. And when he returns to the store, Mr. Gowan beats him for not delivering the medicine. Now, finally, Mr. Gowan realizes that George has actually saved this customer's life and his own life and his business and his reputation. Now, it's actually a fairly difficult scene to watch, but it is very powerful when we think of how George is making the life of Christ his own, and is modeling after Christ. Now, after his graduation from high school, George is all set to leave Bedford Falls to see the world and to make his own fortune. George is filled with ambition and adventure. And he's all set to leave town when his father dies. And there is no one there to run the building and loan except the villain of the movie, Mr. Henry Potter. Mr. Potter, he is the local banker, and his only concern is power and money. He wants to control the entire town, and if he can get his hands on the building and loan, then he will control everything. George is suddenly faced with a difficult decision. Does he follow his dreams, or does he once again put others first?
Boy, oh boy, that was telling George, oh boy, you shut his big mouth. You should have heard him.
What happened? We heard a lot of yelling.
Well, we're being voted out of business after 25 years. Oh. Easy come, easy go.
Here it is, help wanted, female.
You still want me to hang around, George?
Yeah, I'll be right down.
Yeah, hey, you'll miss your train. You're a week late for school already. Go on.
What's going on?
Oh, never mind, don't worry about that. They're putting us out of business. So what? I can get another job. I'm only 55.
56.
Go on, go on. Hey, look, you gave up your boat trip. Now you don't want to miss college too, do you?
George, they voted Potter down. What? They want to keep it going.
You did it, George.
They got one condition. Huh? Only one condition.
What's that?
And that's the best part of it. They've appointed George here as executive secretary to take his father's place.
Oh, no, but Uncle Billy is...
Keep him on, that's all right. As secretary, you can hire anyone you like.
Well, Dr. Kamenow, let's get this thing straight. I'm leaving right now. I'm going to school. This is my last chance. Uncle Billy here, he's your man.
But, George, they'll vote with Potter otherwise.
Now, isn't that a great look with it stopping and the stars coming in? Well, George, he decides to stay in Bedford Falls to run the building and loan, and in time he gets married. As George and Mary... his wife set off on their honeymoon. They have $2,000 to take with them, and today's world, that's somewhere around $35,000, maybe $40,000. And so George and Mary, they're really setting out on this great adventure to go and to see the world. But as they're leaving town, there is this run on the banks. And in a panic, the people, they want their money. And once again, if George doesn't stay and help to keep the building and loan open, Mr. Potter, he will gain control of everything. So George, he takes his honeymoon money and he gives it to the people. Once again, George puts others before himself. He humbles himself, he makes himself nothing, and he becomes a servant so that others can live. You see, everything in George Bailey's life points us to the real Christmas story of Jesus coming into the world. George had everything in his hands. He was filled with ambition, adventure, and a courage that could have taken him around the world and made him a great success. But he emptied himself. He didn't hold on to those things that were his. He let them go in order to help others. George gave it all up to save others. And that is exactly what we see in the life of Jesus Christ. See, in Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or something to be held onto, but that he emptied himself. He made himself nothing. He gave himself away so that others could live. It says that Jesus humbled himself and he became obedient even to death on a cross. You see, Jesus, he endured those beatings and the pain to help and to save others. The real Christmas story of Jesus is the story of humility. God chose to humble himself to come here and to help us. God didn't choose a wealthy couple of privilege to bring Jesus into the world. He chose a poor couple named Joseph and Mary. Jesus wasn't welcomed by the rich and the powerful, but this little infant was welcomed by some lowly shepherds who nobody cared about and nobody was thinking about. Throughout his entire life, Jesus gave himself to those who didn't have anything. Instead of seeking to get what was rightfully his. And you see, this is the attitude that the Apostle Paul tells us that we are supposed to have. He says, be like-minded. Think this way and allow this attitude of humility to shape your decisions and your actions. See, George Bailey, he had this attitude. And his life helps to point us to Jesus. And if the movie, if it ended right there, it would be a really good story. But it doesn't end there. 8 years later, we finally get to the final event that sets the rest of the movie into motion. Uncle Billy, who works with George at the building and loan, and he forgets everything, even when he has those strings tied around his finger to help him remember. He somehow loses an $8,000 deposit that he's supposed to make at Mr. Potter's bank, and somehow the money, it ends up in Mr. Potter's hands. But because Potter is only interested in power and greed, he sees this as an opportunity to destroy George Bailey and the building and loan and to take control of the entire town. Now, once again, George takes responsibility for this situation. He tries to solve this problem on his own.
I'm in trouble, Mr. Potter. I need help. Through some sort of an accident, my company shortened their accounts. The bank examiner got there today. I've got to raise $8,000 immediately.
Oh, that's what the reporters wanted to talk to you about.
The reporters?
Yes, they called me up today from your building and loan. Oh, there's a man over there from the DA's office, too, who's looking for you.
Please help me, Mr. Potter. Help me, won't you, please? Can't you see what it means to my family? I'll pay any sort of a bonus on the loan, any interest. If you still want the building and loan, I'm...
George, could it possibly be there's a slight discrepancy in the books?
No, sir, there's nothing wrong with the books. I've just misplaced $8,000. I can't find it anywhere.
You misplaced $8,000?
Yes, sir.
Have you notified the police?
No, sir, I didn't want the publicity. Harry's homecoming tomorrow.
Yeah, you're going to believe that, will you? What have you been doing, George? Playing the market with the company's money?
No, sir. No, sir. I haven't.
What is it, a woman then? You know, it's all over town that you've been giving money to Violet Bick.
What?
Not that it makes any difference to me, but why did you come to me? Why don't you go to Sam Wainwright and ask him for the money?
I can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe.
Well, what about all your other friends?
Well, they don't have that kind of money, Mr. Potter. You know that. You're the only one in town that can help me.
I've suddenly become quite important. Well, what kind of security would I have, George? You got any stocks?
No, sir.
Bonds? Real estate? Collateral of any kind?
I have some life insurance. $15,000 policy.
Yes. How much is your equity in it?
$500.
$500? And you asked me to lend you $8,000. Look at you. You used to be so cocky. You were going to go out and conquer the world. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. What are you but a warped, frustrated young man? Miserable little clerk crawling in here on your hands and knees and begging for help. No securities, no stocks, no bonds, nothing but a miserable little $500 equity and a life insurance policy. You're worth more dead than alive. Why don't you go to the riffraff you love so much and ask them to let you have $8,000? You know why? Because they'd run you out of town on a rail. But I tell you what I'm going to do for you, George. Since the state examiner is still here, as a stockholder of the building and loan, I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest. Misappropriation of funds, manipulation, malfeasance. All right, George, go ahead. You can't hide in a little town like this. Now, Bill, this is Potter.
The entire world has come crashing down on George, and he becomes desperate to find an answer. As he leaves Potter's office, he realizes that he is worth more dead than he is alive. And so George comes up with the answer to his problem. He decides to end his life by jumping off the local bridge into the frigid water. Now, before we go on, I want to be very clear that suicide is never a good solution to our problems. It's never God's solution. Many people live with so much darkness and despair that this sometimes seems like it is the best answer, and maybe even it seems like it is the only answer. But it's important to know this, that it is never the best and only solution to our problems. You see, our lives, they are a gift from God. And God has a purpose and a plan for it. See, God says through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 29 at verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You see, God, he doesn't say this to a people who are living in good times. He says this to a people who have been defeated in war. They have been led away as slaves into a foreign land. The people of Israel were defeated in every single way possible. And they truly believed that all hope was lost and all hope was gone. And it was into this darkest of time that God speaks to them and he says, I have a plan for you. I have a future for you. You see, no matter what it is that you are going through right now, God has a way through it. No matter what we may see in front of us, what it looks like, God has a way for us to get through the darkness, and God has a future and a plan for us, each and every one of us. If you are here today and you are wondering if there is any way out of the darkness, God wants you to hear that he does have a way for you, that he does have a plan for you, and God does have a future for you. See, this is part of the real Christmas story of Jesus. Jesus came to love us and to help us and to be with us in the darkness. And through Jesus, we are given a way of light and of hope. Your life is the greatest gift that has ever been given, and it should be celebrated. It should be treasured and not thrown away. The original title of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, it was actually titled The Greatest Gift. And that is because it is the greatest gift that is ever given to us is our lives. If you are experiencing the darkness of despair this morning, God not only wants you to know that he has made a way for you to make it through that darkness, but he wants you to know that in your darkest moments, he is with you. And you see, that is exactly what we see in the movie. In George's darkest moment, God is there.
Hey, what's the matter with you? Look where you're going.
Don't you just love the look on Clarence's face at the very end there? He's got this smile. Look, I did what I was supposed to do. See, Clarence, he saves George by doing the one thing that he knows will change George's plans. He jumps into the frigid water and he cries for help. Clarence remembered that that is exactly what George did for his younger brother. And that is what George would do for anyone who was in need. What Clarence learned about George is that it was his very nature not to think of himself, but others and put them first. He had the mindset of Christ. And so when Clarence cries out for help, George jumps in to save him. And in saving Clarence, Clarence actually saves George.
I had to act quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you'd try to save me. You see, you did. And that's how I saved you.
Very funny.
Your lip's bleeding, George.
Yeah. I got a bust in the jaw in answer to a prayer a little bit ago.
Oh, no, 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 George. I'm the answer to your prayer. That's why I was sent down here.
How'd you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you. I've watched you grow up from a little boy.
What are you, a mind reader or something?
Well,
who are you then?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Oddbody? AS2, what's that, AS2?
Angel, second class. Cheerio, my good man.
You. What'd you say just a minute ago? Why'd you want to save me?
That's what I was sent down for. I'm your guardian angel.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Ridiculous of you to think of killing yourself for money. $8,000.
Yeah, now, just things like that. How do you know that?
I told you I'm your guardian angel. I know everything about you.
Well, you look about like the kind of an angel I'd get. Sort of a fallen angel, aren't you? What happened to your wings?
I haven't worn my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
I don't know whether I like it very much being seen around with an angel without any wings.
Oh, I've got to earn them. And you'll help me, won't you?
Sure, sure. How?
By letting me help you.
Only one way you can help me. You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you, do
you? Oh, no, no. We don't use money in heaven.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting it. Comes in pretty handy down here, Bub.
Oh, tut, tut, tut.
I found it out a little late. I'm worth more dead than alive.
Now, look, you mustn't talk like that. I won't get my wings with that attitude. You just don't know all that you've done. If it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody would be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends. Look, little fella, why you go off and haunt somebody else?
No, now you don't understand. I've got my job.
Oh, shut up, will you?
Oh, this isn't going to be so easy. Yeah, so you still think killing yourself would make everyone feel happier, eh?
Well, I don't know. I guess you're right. I suppose it'd been better if I'd never been born at all.
What'd you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Ooh, you mustn't say things like that.
Now, from here to the end of the movie, that's all we think about when we think of It's a Wonderful Life. Clarence goes and he shows George what the world would be like if he had never been born. And what George sees is that the world is a much darker place. Bedford Falls, it becomes Pottersville because there's no one there to take over the building and loan. So Mr. Potter, he has controlled everything. The people that George has helped through the years, they weren't helped. And so their lives had spiraled out of control. There was no one in town to help the little guy. And so the little guy is taken advantage of and he's beaten down. See, what Clarence is able to show George is that he truly led a wonderful life. And it is this scene which gives the movie its title.
Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?
Well, I've heard of things like this. You've got me in some kind of a spell or something. Well, I'm going to get out of it. I'll get out of it. And I know how, too. Now, the last man I talked to before all this stuff started happening to me was Martini.
You know where he lives?
Well, sure I know where he lives. He lives in Bailey Park.
Are you sure this is Bailey Park?
No, I'm not sure of anything anymore. All I know is this should be Bailey Park. But where are the houses?
You weren't here to build them. Your brother, Harry Bailey, broke through the ice and was drowned at the age of 9.
That's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry. You see, George, you really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away?
See, George, he realizes that he has actually touched many people. And he's made a difference in those lives of the people he knows and he loves. And once again, this points us to the real Christmas story. One person saying yes to God, it makes all the difference. Mary saying yes to the angel Gabriel, it makes all the difference. Joseph saying yes and taking Mary as his wife, it made all the difference. The real Christmas story, it reminds us that one person saying yes to God and embracing the mind and the heart of the Christ child, it can change everything. When we say yes to God and are willing to live like Jesus, our lives, they can change everything. Now, the movie, it also gets us to thinking at least a little bit about angels. They are all over the real Christmas story. There is the angel Gabriel that comes and makes the announcement to Mary. There are the angels that proclaim the birth to the shepherds. Angels are in the wilderness with Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. And they're at the end with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is even angels who announce that Jesus has risen. Now, the word angel, it simply means a messenger. And every time they appear in the Bible, they are bringing some big news or they are communicating God's special plan. Clarence, he was a messenger that was sent to George at just the right moment. And the message that he brought was, your life matters. Now God, he gives us this message through others. Sometimes God can call us to share this message with other people. And when we receive that message or when we are willing to give that message, a wonderful thing happens. We are filled with joy. See, here's what happens when Clarence is finally able to get through to George that he is living a wonderful life.
George, what do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry! Merry! Yeah!
In jail.
Go on home. They're waiting for you.
Mary! Mary! Mary!
Mr. Bank Examiner?
How? Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
I know, $8,000.
George, I've got a little paper.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail. Merry Christmas. Reporters, where's Mary? Mary! Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house. Mary! 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 Have you seen my wife?
Mary!
Daddy!
Kids! Pete! Kids, Janie, Tommy. Oh, let me look at you. Oh, I could eat you up. Where's your mother?
She went looking for you.
With Uncle Billy. Daddy!
Zuzu, my little ginger snap, how do you feel?
Fine. Not a smidge of temperature.
Hallelujah.
Hello. George, darling, where are you?
Let me touch you. Are you real?
George.
You have no idea what's happened to me.
Well, come on, George.
And here's what happens when the town shares the message with George.
Come in, Uncle Billy.
Mary did it, George. She told some people you were in trouble with it. They scattered all over town collecting money. Didn't ask any questions, just said George in trouble. And tell me, you never saw anything like it. Spread like fair.
Another run on the bank? Here, George. Merry Christmas.
Now, don't push. There we are.
Beautiful.
I wouldn't have a roof over my head if it wasn't for you, George.
Just a minute. Quiet, everybody. Quiet.
Now get this. It's from London.
Oh.
Mr. Gower cabled you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop.
Oh. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright.
In the middle of it, as soon as I got Mary's telegram. Good idea, Ernie. A toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town.
Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
It's a Wonderful Life. It points us to the real Christmas story because it proclaims the message that your life matters. Our lives matter so much to God that He came down to earth in the person of Jesus to rescue us. And our lives matter so much to God that God is always with us. We hear these words in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What I want you to do is to personalize that. For God so loved, and put your name in there, that He gave His one and only Son, that if, put your name in again, you believe, you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, the movie, it points us to the real Christmas story because it reminds us that we are to live the life of the Christ child who humbled Himself and He lived for others. Now, the world, they may see that as a burden or a life of sacrificial pain. But the truth of it is that kind of living actually brings great joy. It brings true joy. George, he had the mind and the heart of the Christ. And he truly did live a wonderful life. That is the Christmas story. See, that is the life that we are all called to live. The question is, are you living a wonderful life?